Let's turn to the Word of God, to this chapter from Ezekiel that we have been reading together. If we pick out one verse for special thought, that verse will be 37. "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." We'll keep our Bibles open, asking for the help of the Lord just now. Loving Father, we thank Thee that we're not sent on our own to present the message of Christ and the truth of the gospel. Thou hast promised a companion, and more than a companion, in the person of the Comforter. We have been reminding ourselves, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Lord, we need Thee to be our instructor. Our eyes are blind until Thou dost come and melt away the scales. Our ears are deaf, and we will not hear Thy voice and go on in our own foolish way. Lord, our ears are deaf and our hearts are set, wholly set, and going the wrong way. Oh, have mercy upon us. Turn us again. Lord, leave us not to our own devices. Leave us not to our own folly. Leave us not to our own ways. But Lord, chasten us. Reprove us. Correct us. Draw us back again. Apply the brakes. Send forth Thy Spirit. Oh, may we not hear that word, that the soul so determined in the ways of the world is bound to hear. Go on. You must have your own way. You must find your own friends. You must do your own thing. You will not hear sense. You will not learn wisdom. You will not listen to me. Just go on now. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Save us from a hardened heart. Save us from being willful and proud and stubborn. But mellow us. Melt us in our souls. Bring us back, Lord, to the place where with wisdom we will hear the Word of God. We pray for that kind of wisdom that pays attention to the Lord. We ask the Lord to humble us. We pray that Thou wilt prepare these hearts of ours as the good ground to receive Thy holy word. May we know today that it is the holy word of God, God's precious word, and it's the life-giving word, for it says so much to us about Christ. May we learn about Jesus today. May we see Him in all the Scriptures. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Through these chapters, 18 to 20, we have found that God in Israel has created a people for Himself. As this chapter 20 shows, if you look at verse 11, in creating Israel as a people for Himself, God gave them His Word, putting it into writing, syllable by syllable, that they might be His. Remember that Israel in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, Israel is just a specimen people. In a way, Israel is, in its history, a picture for us. Where God is working in Israel in such a way as to have Israel represent us. So we can see ourselves then. We can see ourselves in the history of God's dealing with Israel. And we learn that God created Israel to be a people for His name. To help bring this about, He gave them His Word. He gave them His Word in writing. He put that Word into writing, that syllable by syllable, they might become His people. There it is in verse 10 and 11. "When I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live." in them. It was there that He showed them His Word. He brought them out of Egypt, out of darkness, out of the world, into the wilderness, that there they might be a people for His name. To bring them to that place, to teach them and instruct them, He put His Word into writing. Hasn't God given you His Word? Put it in your hands with the very same purpose in view. Not only did God give them His Word in writing to make them His, He also gave them a day, a special day. That special day is mentioned, to give one reference, in verse 12. Moreover also I gave them My Sabbaths. That Sabbath was to be an outward sign. He says so in verse 12. I gave them My Sabbath to be a sign between Me and them. So the Sabbath day was special. It was particular. It was an emblem, a token of a special relationship which did exist between the Lord and His people. I have compared that token to a ring which the bridegroom will give to the bride. Already, the marriage is sealed in writing. No marriage can be performed in the country without every detail being put into writing. But there's an outward sign. There's a symbol. There's a token also employed. And God, who in the symbol of marriage has given His Word in writing to bring them into the bond of the covenant, to bring them into His family and make them His own possession, the possession of His heart and of His love. He says, I've put it in writing. And not only so, I'll give you an outward sign, I'll give you a token, just between Me and you. That by this sign, by this token, you can tell the world that you belong to Me and I belong to you. That's lovely. To this day, the Jews celebrate the Sabbath every week as a bride. On one occasion in the land of Israel, with others, we went along to the biggest synagogue in Jerusalem. It was Friday night. That's when the Sabbath begins. And part of that service for the commencement of the service for the commencement of the Sabbath took the form of a wedding. The Sabbath was to be welcomed like a bride. All the men present in the synagogue stood up and turned right around and looked at the door, waiting for the bride to enter. They would welcome her with joy and gladness and expectation. It was a marriage token. And I have thought today, looking into Ezekiel 20, how God says, in this special union of love between Me and you, to bring you into My family and to bring you into My arms, I not only put it in writing, but I give you a token. A token just like the ring, whereby you can say to all the world, I belong to Him and He belongs to me. It would be a sad thing if a wife was ashamed of the ring. Wouldn't say much for the love of her heart if she was ashamed of the ring and took it off and kept it hidden all the time. No, it can be shown. It's a token. I belong to Him. He belongs to me. And yet, important as that is, it is nothing compared to the token God gave to His people. There in the wilderness, He gave them the Sabbath. People today hate the Lord's Day. There's rebellion in this country against the Lord's Day, rebellion in Britain against the Lord's Day, as in other parts of the world. There are those who want to know nothing about God, nothing in relation to this day, and they relate to those who love this day and prize it as killjoys and spoil sports and gloomy people. How mistaken they are. How utterly mistaken. Maybe sometimes we have allowed people to take it the wrong way. But it's a joyous thing. This is a token of love. A sign that God has given to His people, whereby you can say to all the world, by this day, worshiping the Lord, I belong to Him. He belongs to me. You see it there so clearly in verse 12. Look at it again. Moreover, also I give them my Sabbaths. Not so you could live for the devil on that day. Instead of it being a Sunday, it's a sin day. Instead of it being a Sunday, it's a fun day. Instead of it being a holy day, it's a holiday. Instead of it being a worshiping day, it's a worthy day. That's how it is now. We've despised that day. I give them my Sabbaths. To be a special sign between me and them, it says, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. The word sanctify means to separate and set apart unto His name. And we have been emphasizing this, especially last Lord's Day. So God created in Israel a people for Himself. To make them His, He gave them His Word, put it into writing syllable by syllable. There was an outward token as well, just like the ring in the marriage, whereby they could say, this is a special sign that I belong to the Lord. He gave me His Sabbath. And God says, it's just between me and you. There it is again in verse 20. It's just between me and you. Oh, listen. Treat the Lord's day with care, with respect. You wouldn't want to lose this token. Don't cast it away. Don't misuse the Lord's day. Don't profane the Sabbath, as the Scripture says here. Don't allow the world to fill your mind so completely. The Lord's blotted out. And this is happening. This is happening in Ulster. For some people it's the garden. For others it's the car. For some it's friends. For a whole lot it's the TV. It doesn't really matter what it is. The point is, something else is being brought in to such a degree the Lord's shut out altogether. There's no room for the Lord there. We have forgotten that it's His day. We have forgotten that there is this special token of love between the Lord and us. It's His. It's His. He gave it to you. As the bridegroom gives the ring. And shall not want to throw it away. Shall not want to lose it. It's a special token. And so this day is a sign by which you can say to the world around you, I belong to the Lord and He belongs to me. That's a lovely thing. I'm glad. I'm glad we have the Lord's Day. I don't feel a bit gloomy about it. My heart overflows with joy because it is a joyous thing to come up into the house of the Lord. It's no miserable thing to wait on the Lord. The Lord's no man's debtor. We sang those words this morning and meant every line of it. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. I could go back if I wanted to. I could go back to the world and live as one in the world if I desired. But I've no desire to go back. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad to have the Lord's day. I'm glad it's a sign just between me and Him that I belong to Him. But then there were those people in Israel who had no desire to be like the Lord, and who did not want to be His peculiar possession. They did not want to be His. He gave them His word in writing. He put the ring on the finger. He says, by this token, I want you to know that I have taken you to be mine. But they did not want to belong to Him. They did not want to be His. Instead, verse 32 says, they wanted to be like the heathen. We will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, just like the ungodly. We don't want to live for the Lord. We don't want the Savior's name. We don't want His day. We don't want His word. Now I know that the seed I have in my hand is going to be planted in fertile ground. There are those in the congregation very well represented in the words of verse 32. And God knows the thing that comes into your mind. Do you see that at the beginning of the verse? And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. You've got it in your mind you're going to be like the world. You have it in your mind. You'll not be the Lord's peculiar possession. Mind you, if that's your thought, if that's come into your mind, you're a fool. I can say clearly, the world has nothing to put up in comparison with what the Lord means to me. There isn't a thing in the world I would want if by wanting it I would lose the Lord. The hymn writer says, I would rather have Jesus than have all that the world holds. I, even if there were 10,000 worlds, we would still be saying, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this vile world affords today. I don't want to go back. But there are those who are bound to say, oh, I don't want to be the Lord's. I don't want to be like the Lord. I don't want to wear the ring. I don't want to have the sign. I want to be like the heathen. I want to be like the families, the rest of the nation. I want to be like the ungodly. Well, for some here, the Lord is saying, I won't have it. You will not take my ring. You'll not have this sign and give your heart to another. I give you it in writing and I give you the token to make you mine, and I won't have it. There it is in verse 32. You can see that. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be. It shall not be at all. The Lord is saying, I'm not allowed. You have determined to be like the heathen. You have said, I want to be like those in the world. And God says, no, I won't allow it. You are the child of my love. The Savior agonized on the tree to bring you into God's family. He died on Mount Calvary, shed His precious blood to make you an heir of glory, to sanctify you in this world unto His name, and He will not allow you to go on and do what you like. He will not allow you to go on into the world and forget the ring. And forget the sign. And forget the word. He won't allow it. We have recognized in the chapter that to some God says, we'll go on. He allows them. And to others, God is going to say, no, I won't allow you. We want to be in that company. And I have asked you today, just you pray, Lord, don't let me be in that company who are dismissed by Thee. I don't want to be in the crowd to whom the Lord will say, just go on now. If you must have the world, if you must have the devil, just go on. I don't want to be in that company. I would rather be in the other gathering of whom the Lord says, I'll not allow you. You have that kind of heart that will run away from me, but I won't allow it. Oh, thank God for that. We want to pray, Lord, put the brakes on. Put every restraint that's necessary. Put that restraint on me. Lord, keep me back from falling. Keep me back from sin. Keep me out of hell. Get my feet on the road to glory. Let me live for Thee. That should be your prayer. Well, how will the Lord make a difference? How is He going to say to some, I won't allow, if they have said all the while, they want to be like the heathen? Oh, what a foolish thing. Somebody would say that. Want to be like the heathen. Want to be like the ungodly. Well, don't be living through the day as if you are ungodly. Don't in any way create an atmosphere in your home of the sort that's just like the neighbors next door. Ungodly, a house filled with the atmosphere of the world. Especially on the Lord's day, don't be like the ungodly. You shouldn't want to be like them. But how will God make the difference? And how will He bring to pass His saying, I'll not allow it? Well, first of all, verse 35, He says, I will bring you into the wilderness. And there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness, verse 37, I will cause you to pass under the rod. What does that mean? To what does the Lord refer when He says, I'll cause you to pass under the rod? In just such a fashion, the shepherd would bring his sheep home. Having been in the wilderness, you will understand that the shepherds roamed the wilderness, at least within walking distance of their dwelling place. They would meet others like themselves with their flocks. The flocks would intermingle. Perhaps three or four shepherds would be together, usually around the watering hole. There would be a gathering of shepherds. All the flocks would mingle together. It would be just like one massive flock. And it would be nearly impossible to tell which particular animal belonged to which shepherd. But when the time comes to leave the watering place and to return to the family dwelling, the shepherd will take his rod, and he'll use the rod to separate in those flocks. Each one that belongs to him, he'll separate it apart from the others and keep it unto himself. He knows everyone, as the Lord Jesus tells us. He knows everyone by name. The Eastern Shepherd is not the same as the shepherd in this country. He has given a name to every one of the flock. He knows everyone by name. And he would go over these names and use the rod and push the rod in, right in there into the middle of the flock. And by means of the rod, he would cause this particular sheep to come out of the whole number. And he would call it by its name. And the sheep would hear his voice and recognize him as the shepherd. And he says, when I cause you to pass under the rod, I'll be separating you from that crowd. I'll be calling you by your name. I'll be indicating that you belong to me. I'll be numbering my sheep. All of this is done. We can show you quickly, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 33. This is no pleasant illustration. It is a pleasant illustration, but it's backed up by truth. Jeremiah 33, verse 13. The scripture reads, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. To tell means to count. Person working in the bank, taking up duties at the counter, will be called a teller. Not because he tells you all about other people's business. He's not likely to do that. He's called a teller because he's there to count. He must account for every single note he passes on to the customer. He's a teller. He counts those notes. This time God's speaking about the flock, and the shepherd lifting the rod to pull those sheep from out of the rest and to say, now this is mine, and I can call this one by his name. He knows my voice. He's mine. And he counts the flock by using the rod to separate them, the one from the other. The Lord Jesus says that when he comes, he will divide among the nations of the world as a shepherd divides between the sheep and the goats, some going to the right, some going to the left. He calls them to pass under the rod. Look again at Leviticus chapter 27. Once more, passing under the rod is referred to. Oh, this is a practice, oh, so very old, going away, way back to ancient time. The shepherds have done it for untold generations. They have lifted up the staff, the shepherd's staff. They have used this rod. They have made the flock to pass under the rod. And when the shepherd is doing this at the well, close to the time for all to go homewards, before he takes them home, he uses the rod and brings them out, calls them by name and separates them unto himself, and says to them, you're mine. The Lord sees you today, perhaps mingling with the crowd. You would nearly be lost in such a multitude. But oh, he knows you. He knows you by name. He has the shepherd's staff. He will cause you to pass under the rod. He will call you by name. And by using the rod, get you out from among the crowd. And he will be saying, you're mine, before you go home. And before I take you home,
I'll have you separated from the crowd.
Separated unto me, call you by name. He'll not allow you. You may say, I like the crowd, I want to mingle with the crowd, I want to be here, I don't want to be separated. No, he will. He will say, I won't allow you. I'm not going to allow you to stay there anymore. I'll cause you to pass under the rod. I'll make you mine. This is what Moses would have us recognize in Leviticus 27, verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Here the Lord, in speaking about the tenth, is saying, just as the Christian may give the tithe to the Lord, and he says that's, he counts out what he has and he gives the tithe to the Lord, he may be saying, now that's his. It's as if the tithe passed under the rod and it then belongs to him. It's just an illustration borrowed from the shepherd. There's the shepherd again. He's using the rod. He's saying, aye, this is mine. As soon as he passes it under the rod, he's saying, this is mine. Separating you from among the crowd. Making you his. That's one way which the Lord has. Whereby you will have to say, the Lord does not allow me to be in that crowd. He doesn't allow me to be in the world. He's separating me unto himself just to make me his. That I can say, he has made me his. He is mine. And I am his forever and forever. The Lord, in passing you under the rod, has confessed you as his own. Look back at Ezekiel. We'll have to be quick about this. Ezekiel 20. For he does say something very sobering in this chapter here, verse 38, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. There are some in the flock who don't belong to him. Their heart isn't right. They're in rebellion against the Lord. He's saying, well, I'll have to separate them. Oh, what a division runs through the family. What a division runs through the congregation that there are some who belong to him and some who do not. The fact is, you're either a child of God or you're in the world. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either a child of God bound for heaven or you're lost in sin, headed for perdition. Have you passed under the rod? Have you been received by the shepherd? Separated from the world and named by his name. So that you belong to him. Now this verse 38 goes on to say, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. You've just stayed here in the wilderness for a little while. And they shall not enter into the land of Israel. If you don't pass under the rod, you'll not get into the land. Now we can liken the land of Israel, the land of promise, to our inheritance in glory. And the Savior clearly shows there's no admission into the land of promise unless you pass under the rod. You'll not get in. There's only one way into glory. You must belong to Christ. You'll not get in if you've mingled in with the crowd. You'll not get in if you've never been separated unto Christ. You'll not get in. For he says, I'll purge them out. If they're found in the world and in wickedness, I'll purge them out. I'll use the rod. And those who are named, who are separated unto me, who have come to me, I will pass under the rod, they're mine. Let's go a little further. Verse 40. In 41, we'll pick it up easier in 41, I will accept you with your sweet savor. When you pass under the rod, he says, I will accept you. And it's there again in verse 40, there will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings. The symbol in the Old Testament was at the altar where the blood was shed. The blood of the Lamb just typified the blood of Christ. It was just a symbol back then in the wilderness. Just a picture of Christ, the crucified, By the blood of the Lamb, God says, I will accept you. I will make you mine. I will take you in. How can I be received of the Lord? Someone will say. How can I become a Christian? How can I be received of the Lord? Oh, through the offering. Through the sacrifice. Through the blood. The parallel is drawn with verse 35 and 6. The experience being that of the wilderness. I will bring you into the wilderness, just as I did, verse 36 says, just as I did with your fathers in those days when they were in the land of Egypt. I brought them out of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness to make them mine, to separate them from Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. And he says, there in the wilderness, I will plead with you face to face. Face to face means one at a time. You don't get saved in the congregation. You don't get saved as a congregation. You don't get saved as a whole family. You can't say, well, my father's a Christian, my mother's a Christian, therefore I'm a Christian. No, it's not like that. It's face to face. It's person to person. You're only saved as an individual. Your husband may be saved, you're not saved. Your wife may be saved, you're not saved. It's personal. You can't get into heaven because your husband's a Christian. You'll not be in heaven because your wife is a believer. You need to come yourself. It's face to face with Christ. The rod singles out the sheep one at a time. He must make you his. And he says here, through the blood of Christ, if you're trusting in the blood of Christ, if you'll receive Christ, in His offering, I will accept you. I'll take you. Sometimes you hear a gospel preacher say, will you accept Christ? There's nothing wrong with that. He's preaching well if he says, will you accept Christ? But I tell you, that's only part of the gospel. There's something far more important. And it's this, will Christ accept you? You may be thinking of accepting Christ, but will Christ accept you? Will the Lord accept you? Yes, He will, if you're coming through the cross. If you're coming by means of the shed blood, He'll accept you. I will accept you, He says. You know what it is to have the Lord accept you? That's even better than you accepting Him. The New Testament says we are accepted in the Beloved. Finally, look at verse 43. How does the Lord make us His? Well, He uses the rod to separate us, to name us, to identify us as His own. He makes us His by accepting us through means of the shed blood. And therefore, we get into the land, the inheritance, the land of promise. Well, verse 43 shows, He makes us His by instilling in the heart the spirit of repentance. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled. There. The land of Israel, to the stock of Jacob, is the land of promise. And consequently, in verse 40, you see the word there three times over. There shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings. Once more, verse 43, and there shall ye remember your ways. That's where the hill of the cross is. That's where Calvary is, in the land of promise. The Lord Jesus didn't die close to London. He didn't die near to Moscow or to New York. It was outside the city wall of Jerusalem that our Savior suffered for sin. He suffered once for all, that by the shedding of His blood He might take away the guilt of our transgression. There, God says. There. Just there. That's where I'll bless you. That's where I'll speak to you. When I bring you out of the wilderness and gather you into the land of Israel, this is the promise to Israel that He's giving here. But verse 43 describes repentance. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings. What is repentance? Somebody says repentance is feeling sorry for sin. No, well, repentance means a whole lot more than that. Verse 43, repentance is remembrance. Ye shall remember your ways and all your doings. Some of us have forgotten. We have forgotten what we were. We have forgotten that we were sinners. We have forgotten that we have sinned. There's no facing up to sin. And if there's repentance in the first instance, there will be remembrance. You won't show forgetfulness of sin. How many people blaspheme the Lord? In the place where you work, you will hear countless times over one horrible blasphemy after another. And it gets to be so commonplace there are people who never notice it. I notice it. I notice it every time. It's just like an explosion. I had noticed that one blossoming every bit as much as if a bomb had been planted down the street and blew up some building. But the man who speaks that blasphemy doesn't even think about it. He's forgotten it. No sooner has he uttered it than he has forgotten it. And if you were to turn around and say, "What's that you said?" he would look at you in amazement and say, "What do you mean? I didn't say a thing." You didn't say a thing? Did you not? You blasphemed the Lord there. And it's so commonplace. You're acting as if you don't know it. You forgot about it. But repentance is remembrance. You will see your ways. You'll see your sin. Then secondly, repentance is a loathing of self. You can see that in verse 43. Ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight. You won't be thinking highly of yourself. Oh, there's that man or that woman, that young person who's going to say, "Well, I'm really a fine person. Don't tell me that I need to be saved. I'm all right as I am." But if you see yourself as God sees you, you'll loathe yourself. You'll cry out, "Oh, Lord, what a miserable sinner I am. Save me from my sin." And then, look again, verse 44. "When I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, but I have wrought with you for my name's sake." That's how a man saved. Not because he deserved it. Not because his ways were so good. But because he is a sinner, the Lord took him in and saved him. Just through his name. For his name's sake. We're talking about Jesus. I am saved because of His name. I'm saved through Jesus Christ. Repentance really turns us to Christ. We can't get through the Bible without finding Christ there. We can't mention repentance without seeing Christ in it. What teaching there is here. Have you met with the Lord? Do you know Him? Have you been separated unto Him? Can you say, "Yes, I'm His. Really His"? May that be so for His name's sake. We'll bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask Thee today especially, cause us to pass under the rod. Lord, make a separation in our lives. May there be a difference. May there be a change. Separate us from the world. Separate us from all that's wrong and foolish. Separate us from every snare. Separate us, Lord, unto Thyself. Make us Thine. May we have the token of the Lord's love, that we belong to Him, that He belongs to us. Lord, You've put it into writing. May we go home rejoicing to have it that way. And let it also abide in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.